Welcome to The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, here on your station, 88.9 KETR. Good morning, I'm your host, Scott Harvey. This week, as the 83rd Texas Legislature approaches, the issue of school finance heats up.
We have a little over 1,200 people a day that have moved into Texas, and Texas is the envy of other places in the United States.
During the 10 years he's been in office, our state spending has increased 52%, $60 billion.
And Walking for a Cure, a strong show of support during the Commerce Relay for Life.
I like the slide shows when they show people who survived and like everybody was clapping and cheering for them. That was really nice, and I think that made their day.
Also, how a small community is helping a teacher who lost his home in a tornado get he and his family back on their feet. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
KETR receives support from listeners like you and from the Guardhouse Self-Storage, featuring insulated storage units for items large and small in a gated lot with security surveillance. Located at 750 Culver Street in Commerce. More information is available at 903-886-6040.
And good morning. Let's now check out some of the headlines from this week throughout Northeast Texas. Those saddened by the deaths of Lightning Medicine Cloud and his mother have donated thousands to bring the reward total to $45,000 and counting for information leading to the arrest of those responsible. The investigation continues, and this weekend's powwow is still scheduled to go on as planned. A 20-year-old has died in an apparent drowning Saturday at Bonham State Park Lake. The man was said to be swimming with his family not far from shore. Still no name has been released. The victim's body was recovered about an hour after he went under. Just 6 months after work ceased at Greenville's wood grain millwork plant and more than 60 jobs lost, a new tenant is showing interest. Granbury-based Total Equipment and Service plans to use the facility for logistics, purchasing, and as a warehouse, and may build a new facility adjacent to and across the street from the existing one. An East Texas police chief and four of his officers find themselves out of work this week after the city votes Tuesday to disband the force. The move by Kemp City officials in Kaufman County comes amid budget woes. Chief Richard Clemo says he and his force had no warning of the move. A $10 hike in tuition at Texas A&M University Commerce was approved by the Board of Regents late last Friday. They voted in favor of most every school that requested a tuition hike in the system. The new total of $109.68 per semester credit hour at A&M Commerce takes effect this fall. Greenville's Mary of Putin Hill is not open this Mother's Day, nor will they be any other time from the facility in which they've operated since 1955. The business announced last summer they were closing but reopened for Christmas and remained open ahead of Valentine's Day. Online orders have also been suspended. Officials will soon take bids on the more than 600 engraved pavers ready for installation at the Red River Valley Veterans Memorial in Paris. Local elementary school students helped raise much of the paver funding through last year's Pennies for Patriots program. Additional fundraising events are in the works. Dr. Kenneth Shepard, a 34-year instructor at East Texas State University, has died. Shepard developed the Earth Science Teacher Certification Program at the university, and he and his wife, Sue, were also among the contributors to help fund the $28 million science building. Funeral services are Sunday. Four Hunt County schools are among the nearly dozen locally to earn a bronze medal for performance in a recent study by U.S. News and World Reports. Three schools are from Fannin County and two from both Hopkins and Lamar counties. Schools are gearing up for graduation ceremonies this weekend, including Paris Junior College and Texas A&M University Commerce. In Commerce Saturday, keynote speaker and former U.S. Olympian John Carlos will be presented with an honorary Doctor of Letters degree. And join KETR Saturday night for elections from around the region as we tally votes for area city council, school board, and hospital board. Polls open at 7 a.m. Saturday, with our coverage to begin just after the polls close at 7 p.m. That's a check of some of the news-making headlines this week throughout our region. You can find more information on each one of these stories and others at ketr.org. Coming up next, a recap of this week's debate for a state representative for District 2. That's next. This is The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
It's Friday, and start your weekend off right with me, Big Chris, the host of Up Next, the show that brings you the best and newest music from up-and-coming artists. I'm going to have brand new songs for you, and Kayla Furlow stops by the studio to say what's on her mind. And this Sunday, May 13th, is Mother's Day, so I have four Rewind songs to help celebrate the special day. You don't want to miss tonight's show.
Up next, tonight at 9, following Notably Texan on your station, 88.9 KETR.
You served your country. Now the Veterans Crisis Line is here to serve you. If you're a veteran in crisis or know a veteran who is, help is available. Call the Veterans Crisis Line today at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Or chat online at www.veteranscrisisline.net. It's your call.
Welcome back to The Lead. In what is certain to be a hot issue during the 2013 Texas legislative session, school finance was at the forefront of Tuesday evening's debate between District 2 State Representative Dan Flynn and challenger George Alexander. Schools are struggling in what many point out is a lack of funding and spending toward those schools, a question first addressed by Representative Flynn, followed by George Alexander.
The Texas legislature in the last session went into session with a $27 billion shortfall. And it doesn't take a lot of mathematical ability to understand that there were going to have to be some cuts. We started out in 2003 when we had a $10 billion. Then we watched the economy continue to create a downward cycle. But in spite of that, Texas continues to be the number one place to live, work, and raise a family. And I've always said that I don't think that we have a big revenue problem in Texas. I think a $172 billion budget is an adequate budget that we can have. We do have a spending problem. And as we went through the session, I rarely have, in fact, I've never had anyone walk in my office and say, you know, Dan, I'm not being taxed enough. Would you please raise our taxes? That doesn't happen. So you have to make some tough, hard decisions. And I believe that we have done that over the years. If you'll look at see what's happening, we have a little over 1,200 people a day that have moved into Texas. And Texas is the envy of other places in the United States. And I think it's because we've had good, strong conservative leadership. I think we have met the needs. We haven't been able to fulfill all the wants. But I think that Texas still remains that place that people want to live and come and do business.
Mr. Alexander, you have 1 minute to respond to that question.
I appreciate that very much. Well, I will say this. I completely agree with one thing that Mr. Flynn says, and that is that we have a spending problem. And the fact of the matter is he's part of that spending problem. During the 10 years that he's been in office, our state spending has increased 52%, $60 billion. While at the same time our population has increased only 20%. So Mr. Flynn is part of the spending problem that we have down in Austin. With regards to this, I guess the second part of Enola's question with regards to what can we do about schools, one of the real problems we have we've got to recognize with our school systems is that the state of Texas is in the bottom half of how much we spend on students and how much we spend on schools. And it's not, in my opinion, a matter of spending more out of our budget. It's a matter of equitably distributing the income to the individual schools. And the schools in this school district, the rural schools, are the ones that have suffered over the last 10 years under Mr. Flynn's tenure.
Okay, Mr. Alexander, that's your 1 minute. Scott Harvey has the next question for Mr. Alexander.
Thank you. Last week, both the UT and Texas A&M University systems approved tuition hikes at several of their member schools, including a $10 per semester credit hour bump here at A&M Commerce. There are also area community colleges increasing tuition, and what administrators say is partly because of a decrease in state funding. Your reaction to these changes, and what will be your philosophy toward university college funding when the legislature meets next year?
Well, this is mine, right?
It's yours.
Sorry. The legislature in the last couple of years let me start over. For 100 years, the college tuition, the amount that you were charged, the school could charge you, was set by the legislature. It's been recently turned over, and now individual schools determine what their tuition is going to be. It has resulted in a huge hike in cost of tuition. I have some problems with that because we're turning the cost of the college tuition over to unelected officials. And I think that we've got to relook at that, and we've got to come up with better solutions. We've got to have an equitable way of distributing, of managing our costs as far as college education and tuition goes. And leaving it in the control of unelected officials in each individual college, I don't believe is necessarily the right answer. It is unfortunate that the cost of college has just skyrocketed, and that is going to affect our future because our kids and college education are our future.
Mr. Flynn, your rebuttal.
Thank you. Of course, there's no question that the cost of education has gone up just like the cost of everything. And one of the issues that we tried to address was to bring it back to a local level where universities could be involved in that. One of the things that we have done is certainly try to strengthen our junior colleges, and we've done it right here in this district, and Parrish Junior College is certainly one of the prime examples of how we can have affordable education. You know, it's not a right that everyone gets to go to college, and as a matter of fact, one of the things that is disturbing is that 50% of our kids that graduate from high school never go to college. So we have to find out other ways for them to be able to become useful citizens in the community and work toward that end. And I believe as we go through working on this, the governor has got a plan, one that I would be very happy to work with him on, and that is to bring down college tuition.
Thank you very much. Kerry Craig, you're question for Mr. Flynn.
Well, we're talking about education. We see increasing emphasis on education in the high schools, pushing students to prepare for higher education. There are many state-mandated testing programs, the TACS program we're all familiar with, also the STARS program that will be starting this year. Many college-bound students are better prepared for the college, but funding has been cut in many areas away from vocational programs. There are some students in high school that, for whatever reason, college is not in their future. Do you see any reason or any way that you could support or even introduce legislation that would support technical or vocational training in our high schools?
Absolutely, and I advocate that quite often because, as I just said, 50% of our kids that graduate from high school don't go to college, so we need to have those vocations. As a bank president for a number of years, I've always laughingly said, you know, some of the very best customers I had in my bank were the people that had the convenience stores or had the machine shops or plumbers, electricians. All my doctors and lawyers, I seemed to have to deal with their overdrafts. And so it was always good to see it. I passed the only legislation in the history of the Texas House to end that oppressive testing that's been forced on everyone. Teachers, parents, and students feel like that the standardized testing has been something that has been totally overrated, and we passed that in the Texas House 140-2. I was very proud of that. I think that the way the bill was written, those dollars, almost $500 million, would have stayed with the local school district, and the superintendents would have been able to allocate those towards exactly the programs that you're talking about and maintaining those teachers.
Mr. Alexander, your response to that?
I respectfully disagree that Mr. Flynn has supported and advocated for our school, rural school districts in whatsoever in this representative district. He has supported the bill in 2006 that created the targeted revenue system that our rural schools currently are under and are underfunded per student in these rural school districts. He has been begged year after year to do something about it by the superintendents, the parents, the teachers, and the principals, and he will do nothing about it. He will not pay attention to their desires, their wishes, and work with them for a common sense solution to an equitable way of funding our rural schools.
Yes, we've talked a lot about school funding tonight. Also, let's talk about city and county funding and an option that was presented last week. I want to get your opinion on the Texas House and Ways Committee. Last Thursday, heard testimony from conservative activists that included one option to abolish property taxes and instead collect more revenue through sales and business tax to make up the difference. When the idea of how the state collects property taxes comes up in next legislative session, would this be an option you would consider? And if not, what are some of the best directions in supporting and financing schools, cities, and counties?
I served two sessions back. Speaker Craddock appointed me to the property tax task force. I went to 26 cities all over the state of Texas, and I advocated eliminating property tax and going to a consumption tax. It was interesting to me that everybody in the audience, when I would ask for a show of hands, who was in favor of that, everyone in the audience was always in favor of it. The problem was that everybody on my panel of task force, they didn't like that idea for various reasons. I think that you're continuing to see, and just this week, the Ways and Means has addressed that again, and it's coming up, and I still think that that's a good way. I would never support it unless we do away with the property tax. Now, we're talking about for school funding. We're not talking about the tax that we available for cities and counties, because they have difficulty raising money, and we've got mayors and county judges out here that would be the very first to tell you we need more money, and please don't touch that for us. And so that's the way it would be suggested, and I would be very supportive of anything that could reduce the property tax. I mean, it's unconscionable that we have a situation where people have property tax, they've worked all their life, they've paid off their mortgage, and then they have to rent their home from the government the rest of their life. It's immoral. I'm opposed to it, and I will continue to do everything I can to change that system.
Mr. Alexander, your view of that question?
We're going down a slippery slope towards a state income tax, in my opinion, if we're not real careful. If we're going to go to a business tax and sales tax and get rid of the real property taxes, I'd have to be absolutely convinced that we were not leading to a state income tax. People move to the state of Texas because we don't have a state income tax. Once we have a state income tax, it's going to go up and up and up. I think it's a slippery slope that we've got to avoid.
A portion of Tuesday evening's debate between District 2 State Representative Dan Flynn and challenger George Alexander. The entire debate, which featured questions on immigration, health care, transportation, and faith, can be heard at our website, ketr.org. When we come back, we have our Friday feature for you. Don't go away. You're listening to The Lead on your station, 88.9 KETR.
I'm Guy Raz, the weekend host of All Things Considered. Our show isn't simply a recap of the news. We explore different angles on the day's stories, going beyond the usual headlines. When you listen, you'll discover something you didn't know, maybe hear a perspective that might surprise you. Expect to know more every Saturday and Sunday on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Starts at 4 p.m. weekends on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Every day you hear our announcers say, support for KETR is made possible by, and then mention the names of local businesses and nonprofit organizations. These groups already know the value of the KETR audience and have chosen to make public radio part of their marketing mix. If you want to know what they know, call 903-513-9684.
Welcome back to The Lead. It's now time for our Friday feature. Hundreds have once again come together to help support a good cause. And as KETR intern James Barron reports, if you missed last month's event, there's still a chance to do your part in the coming weeks.
Relay for Life is an overnight relay event to help raise money for cancer. Whether you are showing your support for a survivor, a fighter, or a lost member. On April 13th, A&M Commerce held a Relay for Life event at their field house on campus. They raised $31,061 with 36 teams participating. A few of them told me what they enjoyed most about the event.
I like how people got together for one main goal and to also remember people who died because of cancer.
Like the beginning when all the survivors started walking, like how like their faces, how they were so impacted about it.
They had a survivor lab there, and that got me really emotional. I thought that was really cool. I liked how there were so many people there. There was a really big turnout, and there's a lot of people there to support.
Most of the people showing up to support their cancer awareness, like maybe like if they had loved ones, like they showed it.
I liked the slideshows when they showed people who survived, and like everybody was clapping and cheering for them. That was really nice, and I think that made their day.
Seeing all the survivors tell their story and how they affected.
Many of them had their own reason for going to this event. Here's what a few of them had to say.
Well, I always wanted to do it, and I thought it was an awesome experience just to go and support cancer and the whole idea of how cancer never sleeps.
My dad is a cancer survivor, so it's really important to me.
I actually have a couple loved ones that have passed away from cancer. It's kind of just part of my family tradition.
I always wanted to go to the Relay for Life event like for a couple years, but I hadn't had a chance to go, and I also wanted to raise money and help people.
If you were not able to make it to this event in Commerce, don't worry. Hopkins County and Hunt County are both hosting this event on May 18th. Hopkins County will be held at Sulphur Springs at the middle school track, starting at 7 p.m. Hunt County will be located in Greenville at the T.A. Cotton Ford Stadium, also at 7 p.m. These overnight events will have loads of fundraising, food, and games to help raise money for the American Cancer Society. This is a life-changing event to help you celebrate the lives of people who are battling cancer, remembering lost loved ones, or fighting back against the disease. Cancer affects the lives of many people every day, and the Relay for Life can help support the fight against cancer. If you would like to know any more information about these events, their website is relayforlife.org. They hold over 5,100 community Relay for Life events nationwide.
That's KETR intern James Barron's reporting. We use this platform here on The Lead to display this great work performed by our KETR interns every semester, and we've once again come to a close of this semester. A lot of great works from our students, and we'll continue to bring those to you in the weeks and months ahead. We still have a lot of activity to bring to you, and we've had some great features over the past month or two. Again, that's James Barron's. Our Friday feature airs each Friday during The Lead at 10 a.m. and again at 4:45 p.m. during All Things Considered here on your station. And if you have a story idea that you think would be best told as part of a feature here, we'd love to hear from you. Send your ideas to scott@ketr.org. It's left the students of a rural Hopkins County school district heartbroken, but inspired. The fact that their band director, Jeremy Wofford, continues to make the nearly one-hour drive to his Como classroom in the days and weeks after a tornado destroyed his family's Roy City home.
Well, obviously everyone was devastated.
That's Jay Sturgill, drum major at Como Picton High School.
Even the community was trying to donate things right off the bat. And during our band period, we were talking and we said that we need to do something drastic right now because he's just done so much for our community and our school. And there's no way that we're going to be able to give it all back to him, but we're going to try to give it as much as we can.
The devastating tornado that hit the Royce City community was one of more than a dozen to erupt over the North Texas region on the afternoon of April 3rd. Fortunately, no one was killed, but hundreds of homes were damaged, some beyond repair, like the Wofford families.
The whole house was much destroyed. The roof was torn off, and the corner was twisted to where the beams are unstable, and the fire marshal said it would probably be best to build from the ground up.
In an effort to help the Woffords to get back on their feet, a group of students and parents have collaborated to schedule the Comalpicton Spring Festival for May 12th. The hope is that local businesses are willing to donate objects associated with their office to the festival, which will minimize planning costs and in turn increase the Wofford donation pot from participants. Sturgill says if they could get advertisements free of charge, they will be able to help the Wofford family even more. The event takes place Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. from the Picton Community Center and will consist of carnival-like booths during the day and a jazz dinner that evening with a one-act performance. Event planners also hope to provide raffles, photo booths, and bounce houses. At 6 p.m., babysitting will be provided at the Picton Tabernacle Baptist Church so that parents and youth ages 14 and up may enjoy the evening entertainment. Meal vouchers are $20 per couple and an additional $5 for babysitting costs. Sturgill noted,
he's received an extremely high regard because, again, he drives at least an hour each day just to teach at our school, and since he's the only music director, he conducts the high school band, all the junior high bands, the jazz band, and the choir.
More information is available by calling Jay Sturgill at 405-651-9673. That's 405-651-9673, or Eva Teer at 903-243-0016. Our thanks to the citizens over in the Comalpicton area for letting us tell that story. Some other major events taking place this weekend include the 18th annual Native American Powwow. We've been talking a lot about this over the last couple of weeks, of course, on the heels of the death of Lightning Medicine Cloud, the sacred white buffalo, and his mother, Buffalo Woman. So this event takes place Friday and Saturday, and then there's going to be a memorial service Sunday morning, all at the Lakota Ranch, and there's going to be activities that are in conjunction with the Native American Festival, but also to honor Lightning Medicine Cloud. And so again, this is information can be found at our website, ketr.org. We have a news story on it. We also have it up on our events calendar. Other events as you look toward the weekend here, the Texas Outdoor Family Day. It's at Cooper Lake State Park. It's at the South Sulphur Unit. And the 8th Annual Ladonia Ranch Rodeo, that takes place at Ladonia's Eastman Arena in town. And the Texas Historical Commission Historic Sites Free Day. This is an activity taking place over in Paris at the Sam Bell Maxey House State Historic Site. Learn more on area community events at our website, ketr.org/events. We strongly encourage you post your own event, and we'll read that on the air. That's going to do it for today's installment of The Lead. KETR would like to thank the Hunt County African American Leadership Conference and A&M Commerce Colony of Phi Iota Alpha for inviting us to serve as the part of the media panel for Tuesday's debate between District 2 State Representative Dan Flynn and challenger George Alexander. We heard a portion of that debate this half hour. You can hear the full question and answer session at our website. Also, thanks to James Behrens for producing today's feature on the recent Relay for Life in Commerce. Remember, Relay for Life in Greenville and Sulphur Springs in the next couple of weeks. We're back same time next Friday at 10 a.m., and our show re-airs at 9 a.m. on Saturdays, and you can hear archives of the show at our website. That's ketr.org. Next is Texas Matters. This has been The Lead, the exclusive news magazine of Northeast Texas, on your station, 88.9 KETR. I'm your host, Scott Harvey. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.